Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Yesterday we aired an interview with financial expert Chris Dardeman on teaching biblical financial principles to your children, and Chris had so much information. We've invited him back today to really break that down and give us some practical steps in taking those principles and making them activated in our lives. And Chuck, yesterday at the beginning of the program, I asked you what you and Ann are doing with your boys, and you shared some principles that you're teaching to your sons. But offline, you told me you had a few more, and I'd like you to share those with the audience today.
Well, I can't wait to talk to Chris again today. I know people really, really respond to this subject because not only is it a great idea to teach your kids to be wise, but if you don't, it can be super painful and a problem that just never goes away. It can be disastrous. So it's very important, even from a defensive standpoint, to teach your children to manage money well. So it's going to be a rich program. Ann and I wanted our boys to know that we had a limited supply of money. That was important. It was just honest. It was truthful. It took some of the pressure off when we had to say no. And we knew that it was important for them to learn to wait when they wanted to spend money. And so we were always, even if we had it, we would practice, you know, saying no, you can't take it, we can't get it, not going to be spontaneous. But because I've raised all boys, we've been particularly focused on teaching them to be producers, how to earn a living. Our boys got jobs when they were young. Of course, they had the envelope system of giving and saving and spending and that kind of thing. But I wanted them to connect their work with earning money, not just having a work ethic that was used for sports or other things, but how do you really make a living? How do you learn to go to work and to get the job done? Of course, Dave, you may have a different perspective. You've got mostly girls.
That's true. I have five girls and one boy. I guess I would take it this way. We would certainly love to see all of our daughters get married and have families, but that may not be the case. And so we are teaching them to be entrepreneurial, to not shy away from hard work. The second part of that, though, is we're teaching them how to manage what they have well, to manage and run a household, if you will. And so they learn the principles of budgeting and learn the principles of stewarding what they have. And that's been a process all along. And Michael, we're teaching him both of those as well. He needs to make it. He needs to know how to manage it and then how to use his resources to fulfill God's calling on his life.
Absolutely. We all need to know that.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, our special guest, Chris Dardeman, will be with us. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
The economy is frontline news, but how do you know who you can trust? Each day on Money Life, we'll bring you up-to-date information on the topics that are important to you. From the current housing crisis to protecting your investments, Money Life will bring you a balanced biblical perspective to the world around you. Calling on some of today's best financial advisors, Money Life will go deep on topics so you can be informed before you make a decision. Money Life will also bring you the stories of everyday people that will inspire and encourage you to live out God's financial principles.
Hi, this is Chuck Bentley, host of Money Life, and I hope you'll join me each day as we discover how to make money, how to manage it well, and how to use it to fulfill God's purposes. It's a crazy world out there, but there's hope, help, and insight available, and I look forward to discovering it together with you.
Join Chuck Bentley for Money Life each weekday. Money Life is a broadcast production of Crown Financial Ministries.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and my guest today is Chris Dardeman. Chris, welcome back to Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck.
Well, yesterday we talked about this really, really important issue of teaching our children to be wise stewards. I love what you said to set it up, that the statistics show that 85% of the children come to Christ before age 14. And if that's true, then we need to teach them to be good stewards before they're age 14 as well. And yesterday, Chris, we laid the foundation. We talked about the principles. And today we want to talk about the practices. How do you really implement this, Chris? And so let's go there. What's the very first practical thing you can do to start teaching how to be a good steward?
The first thing is to start early. And we started with our own children at age 5. We gave them 10 dimes as an allowance, so it was very easy for them to learn the giving, spending, saving concept. But even if your children are older, it's never too late. So if you hear this and go, man, I wish I'd started this years ago, don't worry about what's happened in the past. Just take from here forward and try to figure out how you can apply some of these principles. Number 2 is watch out for this entitlement mentality. We talked about that a little bit last time, but children, if they're not careful, will grow up expecting the world to hand everything to them. And when they're adults, they're not going to be just given money just for being a person. They're going to have to learn to produce and contribute to the economic society to be able to be paid. And so that's very important, you know, to do that. And work helps them create skills and also self-esteem. So look for opportunities and ways that, you know, your kids can earn money, even if it's just small things around the house. Number 3 is allow them the joy and discipline of giving their own money. Avoid what I call the nickel and dime syndrome of just giving your money to them and then they give it in the plate. Let them learn how to give of the money that they've earned. It'll mean a whole lot more to them.
You know, a friend of mine said he grew up with what he called the deluxe package, and he came to expect the deluxe package. And what you're saying is, we've got to break that really, really early, and it takes discipline. Did you have any experience with your children expecting that, and how did you break it?
A few years ago, one of my good friends, Alan Godhart, and I were discussing this, that we were beginning to see in our own children this entitlement mentality. And frankly, it scared both of us to the point we decided over lunch one day that we were going to change this. So I went home, and I don't remember if it was that night or over the weekend, but I told our children we would be changing the economic system of our family, and they kind of gave me a blank look, not knowing what that meant. And I said, what that means is that from here forward, we're not having allowances, but we will post a list of jobs that need to be done, and we'll attach dollar values to each of those. So you'll have the opportunity to make way more than you were getting in the allowance, but you'll have to put out some effort for that to happen.
How did they respond?
Yeah, it didn't go over too well at first, to say the least. You know, and what about the neighbor's kids? And, you know, my comment was, well, the neighbor's kids don't live here. You do. And so, eventually they got used to it. And what we've noticed is whenever they want something, they tend to put out more effort. And it's interesting to see when they do take initiative, it usually is tied to something that they want to do or buy. And that has been quite interesting.
Good. Well, what are some of these other practices, Chris?
I think as soon as it's appropriate, you want to get your children engaged with financial products like bank accounts, credit cards, mutual funds, stocks, insurance. You want to teach them at home while they're under your roof so they know how to use these. You know, you could say, well, I don't want my kid to have a credit card. Well, they'll get one day, so you might as well have them learn how to get it, use it, pay it back before when they go to college or even after. They'll be bombarded with applications and not really know how to deal with it.
And so what age do you recommend that for, Chris?
Well, I think, again, it could vary based on the age, of the, you know, based on the specific child. But certainly when they grow into their teens, they need to begin learning how they will have to operate once they're out of the family and, you know, off in college and once they graduate from college. Many children today might make straight A's, but yet they are financially illiterate. They don't know how to balance a checkbook. They don't know how to use a credit card. And we're handicapping our children if we don't prepare them for the adult world that they will be facing. And our job as parents is to work ourselves out of a job as it relates to some of this. I mean,
well, and I love the idea there, Chris, that credit cards aren't evil. In fact, we need to learn to be good stewards of that resource because in some cases they're very beneficial to have in our system today. But we need to be wise and learn how to use them so that we don't get into the trap with them. That's great. What else, Chris?
One of the big things is allowing children to experience the consequences of their mistakes. And this is one thing we see that a lot of parents are unwilling to do, and they tend to bail their children out. And it's amazing that, you know, we hear people sometimes talk about their children that are in their 20s and the parents are continuing to bail them out time and time again. Well, it started when the child was small. They didn't take their plate to the dishwasher. They didn't pick up after themselves. And if we're not careful, we will train our children to expect someone else to do everything for them, as opposed to allowing them to have the consequences, you know, of their own mistakes. Insulating them from mistakes is one of the worst things I think we can do financially in terms of parenting our children.
Well, you know, Chris, it's very important to learn that there are consequences to our mistakes, you know, whether you're young or old. How did your parents teach you that?
One of the biggest mistakes that I made that I remembered that has made a lasting impact on me was my freshman year in college. And what my parents did is they, you know, paid for room and board and books and all that. But for spending money, they gave it to me in a lump sum. And they said, this is all you're going to get. Plan and use it wisely and don't come back asking for more. Now, you hear that and you go, you know, I was 17 when I went to college, so probably wasn't prepared to do this very well. And what happened was predictable. By halfway through the semester, I was out of cash. Next weekend, I had a, you know, very big date, and I called my parents expecting them to, you know, bail me out and give me some more money. And my mom said, no, you know, we told you at the first of the year, this is the way it was going to work. You know, we love you. We support you. You know, if you had an emergency, we'd take care of it. But, you know, this isn't an emergency. You just didn't plan well. So now you have to live with the consequences. And I have never forgotten that. And from then forward, every semester, I learned how to plan discretionary expenses in a way that if I had not sort of gone through that pain of the learning process, I would have never gotten
sure
to the same degree.
Yeah, I love that story, Chris, because saying no is a really easy way to train what the consequences are of poor planning. Just say no sometimes. Well, you're listening to Money Life. Chris, when we come back, I want you to go through this list of some of these practical ways to teach children to be good stewards, to handle money well. It's such an important topic. We'll be right back. You're listening to Money Life.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money Package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money Package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money Package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and my guest today is Chris Dardeman. And Chris, we've been talking about some real practical ways, things that you can actually do to teach your kids to be good stewards and to manage money well from a young age. Let's pick up where we left off. What are some more practical tips, Chris?
Another one is to gradually increase your children's responsibility level for buying their own stuff, their clothes, their spending money. And, you know, again, ours are at an age that we're just beginning to do this. And it's really the idea of giving them blocks of money and then they have to spend it. And if they blow it, they blow it. But you don't go back and bail them out. They have to learn the idea that there's a finite amount of money that they have to spend on clothes, on shoes, on whatever it is. Another thing in the area of automobiles, when they get ready to drive, figure out a way to allow the children to participate, you know, maybe pay for half of their car, have them pay for the insurance, the gas, let them understand what this stuff costs. If parents just pay for everything, then the kid never really understands what it costs to live. Dr. Jerry Bell, that we referenced, I believe, earlier, Chuck, who's a professor at North Carolina at Chapel Hill and has done decades of research on achievement and future success and inputs to how people create successful kids, says that buying a new BMW for your 16-year-old says to your child that you don't think they can be popular unless you do that and help them buy their friends.
Wow.
So, you know, we want to be careful even for those with resources to not overuse that or overplay that card.
Well, I like that statement, Chris, and it also just affirms in my own heart. My parents thought I could be really popular, that I didn't need the card, because mine was a 65 Nova. It was far from a BMW. What else, Chris? What else do we need to be teaching our children on how to manage money?
I think another thing as they get older is to teach them how to use financial software. There are a number of these packages out. Laura and I have used Quicken for years, and it just helps us set up a tracking plan for keeping up with expenses. And
sure, and Crown produces software as well, and I think that's a great idea because that's kind of where kids today really learn, is to do it online.
And doing the online and the financial software is much easier than doing it manually. We just don't think that folks will do it manually, you know, for very long. Another idea is to focus on your children's hearts more than their outward behavior. I think that it's very easy for us to get children to do things that look good from the outside, but yet if they're not really engaged on the inside, there's an excellent book called Shepherding a Child's Heart that focuses on this, and it doesn't specifically apply it to the financial area yet. That's another great application of making sure that they're doing the right things for the right reason.
Yeah, that's a wonderful book, and it's a favorite in our home too, Chris.
Another one is to create engaging learning experiences where children can learn to be good stewards, like setting up a budget when you go to the zoo or on vacation. Allow them to help you evaluate purchases if you're going to buy a new television or a new car or whatever it is. But use the world and the mall and everything around you as a classroom. One of the things is that too often education is viewed as being confined just to the four walls of the classroom. Use the grocery store when you go to the mall, when you go out to eat at lunch. One dad told me that what he started doing instead of paying for everybody's lunch is he would give everybody $5 or whatever it was. He would give them the amount of money they were going to spend. And he said it was amazing to watch how that impacted the buying decisions of the children.
That is just great.
Another one is just teaching them about the power of compounding interest and how a dollar saved today will be worth much more in the future. How a dollar spent today will actually cost them a lot more out into the future. This could be translated into using bank accounts, mutual funds, stocks, getting your kids actually interested in investments and allow them to choose, you know, things that they may want to invest in. Maybe allocate a little bit of money and have your children have a competition on, you know, which one can pick something that's going to do better than the others. There's a lot of ways to sort of get them interested in the financial world and to teach them, while at the same time instilling the biblical values and principles that go with that.
Well, Chris, we could go on and on because the list is endless of things we need to be doing. But what are some of the closing comments you would give to a parent, whether they're a single parent or in a two-parent home? What would you advise them to do to teach their children how to do this well?
Most parents want to raise children with good values and character. But most of us struggle just with the time of how do we get this done? I mean, there's a million other things we have to be doing. Well, one of the things that I was involved with a task force with some other people, and Crown actually partnered with another organization called Rethink to create a tool called Family Time Stewardship. And this is something that was designed to help equip parents with easy-to-use tools to make the most of everyday moments together. And these are tools based on the biblical model that the home should be the primary place where a child learns about God. And this is designed around stewardship, but there's like a drive time CD you can use when you're driving to school or commuting. There's some notes you can go over and conversation starters at mealtime on how to talk about this as a topic. You don't have to spend a lot of time preparing, but yet it gives you the key points on how to do this. Then there's some bedtime stories that you can talk about at bedtime. And then there are some cards parents can write little notes to their children and tell them how proud they are of them about certain areas. There also is another set with DVDs and music, which it's very contemporary and engaging for the children at the K through fifth grade level, something that we found to be useful not only for parents in the home but also for Sunday school classes and other small groups.
Well, Chris, I know our listeners have so appreciated having you on Money Life today. I'm inspired. I'm sure that they are, and I know they'll want to pick up those products. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chuck.
You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
Are you over 50 and thinking about retirement? Well, if you want to actually experience retirement one day, you have to plan for it. And we have a book that'll tell you how. It's Your Money After the Big 5-0, written by Crown Financial Ministries co-founder Larry Burkett and financial planner Ron Blue. Your Money After the Big 5-0 will equip you with biblical wisdom and practical advice for succeeding in the second half of life, having a fully funded retirement, and being free to serve the Lord. And you'll learn about the importance of finishing strong and leaving a legacy of stewardship to your children and grandchildren. If you're ready to put together a financial plan for a retirement that'll honor God and give you wealth at last, get a copy of Your Money After the Big 5-0 right now at crown.org. Your Money After the Big 5-0 by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue is available online at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. This is Dave Ball along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. Chuck, as we wrap up today, I know some people felt like they got a great kickstart to teaching financial principles to their children, but they're probably saying, what more can you give me to help me go to the next step?
Well, we were all three sitting here looking at each other going, we can all do better. You know, it's an area where we need to be very intentional about teaching our kids. He also reminded me of a story that made an impression on one of our children when he was in junior high. We did a Bible study with 8 junior high boys on how to manage money. And one of them that recently asked me if I would perform his wedding ceremony told me that study still impacted his life today. And one of the little practical things we did is we had them bring $6 and we said, tonight you're going to go eat out. And whatever money you save, we're going to throw a party with it at the end of the study. Well, of course, they spent about almost $5 eating out. Mm-hmm. And they had $9 left over. And Ann took that $9 and threw a party for them. And it blew them away how nice it was for what she got for $9 was so much better than what they had gotten for $5 eating out. And they still remember that story. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we're just reluctant to invest the time or buy the resources to teach these kids how to manage money. We'll spend money on a lot of other things, mm-hmm. but not this. I mean, most of us have never been taught. So let me run through a couple of other resources that are available for our listeners if they want to be intentional. One of them that's really helpful is the In God We Trust Children's Study. It's designed for a church curriculum. It takes 4 weeks. It's for ages 5 through 11. And if you're the kind that would prefer to put your kids in another group, well, get that curriculum, get your children in the study, and then put some others around them. And I know you'll have a great, great time with that one. Also, Howard and Bev wrote some Bible study books called The ABCs of Handling Money God's Way. They have a resource from like 2 years old to 7. Mm-hmm. And then it steps up to the next level from 8 to 12. And that one's called The Secret of Handling Money God's Way. Both very, very good. Of course, we sell the ABC Learning Bank. That's a wonderful resource from age 3 on giving, saving, and spending to give them a visual lesson there. And then we have a couple of other things, books like a brand new one called The Case for Stewardship, a little play on words there, and then another one called All About Time, Money, and Talents, a series that Larry did, and those are just excellent. We also have some games, some banks, things that are just really practical. And if you want to get serious about it, go to the website at crown.org, look at those resources, pick one that will meet your needs, and then will you tell me about it? Will you let me know how it went? I'd love to celebrate with you.
Well, you can send those responses to Chuck Bentley at crown.org. That's Chuck Bentley at crown.org. Well, that wraps it up for this edition of Money Life. For Chuck Bentley and the entire staff at Crown Financial Ministries, we trust that you're continuing to learn how to make money, how to manage it well, and how to use it to fulfill God's purposes for your life. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.